If you have your Bibles this morning, you go open up to Luke 1, and we're starting a new series having to do with Christmas, of course. What gift will you give the king? And I know we've talked about different things with having to do with the Christmas story, but I felt like this was a new one that the Lord showed me. And so if you want Luke 1 and verse 26, and we're just going to read this really quickly. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Of a sixth month, meaning Elizabeth. Elizabeth was in her sixth month. Because sometimes we read things and we go, sixth month of what? Her cousin Elizabeth was pregnant, which is also a miracle. He was sent to a virgin, 27, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considering what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and is now in the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the servant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And when I was looking at this, you know, oftentimes we think about Christmas as a season of giving, right? A season of giving gifts to one another, a season of giving gifts to family and friends, and maybe just people that you meet, right? Giving gifts. And when you look through the Christmas story, you see a lot of giving of gifts. But some of those gifts are things that we don't often think about. And I think of Mary's gift. Her gift to me was the greatest gift. It was a gift of trust. See, we can read through this, and we can know the end of a story, and we can know everything turns out okay. But Mary didn't know that, right? Mary was a young girl. They say probably between 13 and 17 is the range of there, because women married very young. It's not a bad thing. It just was their custom. And so she was a young woman, and to be found pregnant without a husband, or to be engaged to someone and found pregnant before the ceremony, you could be stoned. I mean, this was a huge thing. But I want you to listen to what her answer to the angel was in verse 38. And she says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." So first of all, she identifies herself. She doesn't say, "Behold, I choose." What does she say? The maidservant of who? The Lord. She's putting herself in a subservient, or a servient, there's a word. She's lowering herself to Lord and saying, "I come to serve you." Not, "What can you do for me?" She's saying, "What can I do for you?" Right? This is a powerful lesson. This is a young girl who's saying to this angel, stop and think about that for a second. When was the last time an angel walked through your door and talked to you, right? But this happened to her, okay? You have to understand, in Israel, there had been 400 years of silence. God had not spoken to his people for 400 years, amen? And so she was really putting a lot of trust in God, right? Because some might have said, "Well, you had something bad to eat, you know, the night before, and you're having a food vision," right? I mean, she has a lot going on this, but she recognized, why would she recognize the presence of the Lord? Because she had been with the Lord. Amen? When you spend time with the Lord, you're going to recognize his presence. Amen? And so we can see already that she is someone who has been in the presence of the Lord, maybe a worshiper. Amen. We know she's a servant-hearted woman. Why? Because she says, she comes to him and identifies, "I am the Lord's servant." Right? So that's the first thing. She identifies as a servant of the Lord. Then listen to this. "Let it be to me according to your word. Ooh, are you listening this morning? According to your word. So we can grab our Bibles and we can say, let it be to me according to your word. She wasn't basing it on the angel. She wasn't basing it on herself. She wasn't basing it on her circumstance. She was basing it on the word. Now we have the word, right? Every one of us carries that word with us, whether it's on our phone or in our Bibles. We carry the word. Again, they did not have this. This is amazing when you stop to think about what she says. I know I am not only your servant, I'm not only willing to serve you in whatever capacity that may be, but I am choosing to stand on your word as if it is God's word. And I assume whatever it is that word is spoken over me, I receive it. Because, you know, you can have a word spoken over you. You can have something in the Bible spoken over you, but if you don't receive it, if you don't say, this is mine, amen, then it does nothing. It just sits there. But she says, let it be to me according to your word. And I love this about Mary, because we all know that moms in those days were the teachers, right? The moms were the ones that would raise up their kids and they would teach them. The dads did have a part, but it's just a maternal thing that God has placed women in the home to train up the child. They're the ones that spend the most time with them, right? And we can see Mary's heart in Jesus. When he's at the Garden of Gethsemane, what does he say? Not my will, but yours. Or another way to say that would be, let it be according to the words you have already spoken over my life. Amen? It's a powerful thing when we choose to be people who come to the Lord and say, I trust you. I trust you. Even if we know, okay, I might lose my friends, my family might disown, I might lose my life over this. But we come to him and we say, Lord, I am your manservant. I am your maidservant. I come to do whatever it is your word tells me to do. Let it be to me. We're not only impacting ourselves, we're impacting generations to come. We are still impacted by Mary's words. Have you thought about that? We are still impacted by Mary's words. We're still reading them. We're still teaching on them. Amen? So your words today, my mom always used to say, you know, the Bible didn't ever stop getting written. It's just not in print. Our stories are still being written in heaven. Our stories, what we say, what we do, they're still impacting people's lives, even though it's not in print. Amen? So someone around you is watching to see what are you going to do. Amen? And sometimes we stand for righteousness. Okay, not sometimes. A lot of times we stand for righteousness. Amen? But in a bold way where people around us don't like it. So do we back down? Do we let it change us? Do we let it change what we feel like the Lord has told us to do? No, we can't. Why? Because there is a generation that is hanging in the balance, waiting to see, will we be faithful? Amen? I believe that's why that this younger generation has such a heart for the Lord. I know you can have all these statistics of all the people that aren't going to church, but I believe there are parents that have spoken into their kids' lives, and it is coming to pass in their kids. Amen? This is a generation, what is it, X, is that right? X or Z, whatever this generation over here is. This is a generation that's going to serve the Lord. Are you hearing me today? Because parents said, let it be to me according to your word, and I will walk it out. Amen? And it's making a difference. Guess what? What if we all chose to say what Mary said? Lord, according to your word, what you have spoken in your word, let it be done unto me. That means health. That means peace. That means I'm an ambassador. I go forth and I speak the truth. That means I'm blessed to be a blessing. Amen? God is looking for people, just like he was looking for Mary, that will say, yes, yes, Lord, I'll do this. I know it might be tough. I know I might lose things, but I don't want to lose out on you and your plans for me. Her gift was a gift of trust. She said, I trust you more than I trust myself. I trust you more than I trust what I think will happen. I trust you with my life. That was her gift. So as we're giving all of our gifts this year, make sure that you stop and you ask the Lord, am I giving you my gift of trust? Am I being like Mary? Sometimes I feel like I'm just wholehearted, but then other times I feel like you'll be in a certain crowd with a certain group of people and you're just like, well, if I'm just quiet, then it won't ruffle any feathers. And of course we do everything in love, but maybe the feathers need to be ruffled because maybe someone needs to hear the truth, and maybe the truth needs to be a seed that's planted that will eventually set that person free. But if nobody's willing to speak the truth in love, and we just keep right on going, the truth's never spoken and lives are never changed. I think we're past that time now, church family. I think it's time we speak the truth in love when God puts it on your heart. Amen? Because there is timing. That's important too. Amen? There's a timing. Jesus didn't come 100 years before Mary. He came at the right time to Mary at the right moment for a change in the whole world. Think about that. The whole world was changed because one young lady said, I'll do it. God is looking for the men and the women and the young men and the young women that are willing to say, I'll do it, and continue to change the world because of their trust. Amen? And the first place we start that is our tithes and offerings. So let's grab that this morning. Father, I just thank you so much. We can trust you just like Mary did. And God, thank you so much that you've given us the written word so we can know what you've said, so we can rely and we can put our faith in that word. So it's not just something we have to guess. We can know it. And Father, I thank you for the story of Mary, Father, and the example that she showed us that we can trust. We can trust you, God. And yes, all things will work together for good. And Father, I just pray over every seed that is sown today as we trust you with our finances, God. I thank you, Lord. We don't love money. No. Money is a tool that we use to advance your kingdom. But I thank you, Father, that we also know that when you plant, as you sow, you also reap. And so, Father, I thank you for a harvest in each one of our lives, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, supernatural blessings. Father, I believe you are doing creative miracles even right now in people's lives. You are lining things up so finances are coming in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I thank you, Father, for an anointing upon this body. Father, the finances come in. Father, we are faithful to do what you've called us to do with those finances. So the people that sow, their harvest is 100-fold in Jesus' name. That we are blessed to be a blessing. I thank you, Father, for the 1,000 pounds of food that we were able to give this year. But God, I'm looking for the truckloads where we have to back a semi in to be able to give, Father. I pray you would stretch our thinking, God, to see ourselves as not as those who need, but those who are the need providers, because we are your hands extended. Bless every seed that's sown today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. One more thing, boys, before you do the offering. If everybody could grab their wallets or their checkbooks, we do this every December. If you want to grab your wallets or your checkbooks, lay hands on them. Grab them real quick. I'll give you a second. Because in this church, what I believe every December is a lot of people by the end of December, the red is not just on their Christmas tree. It's in their checkbooks. But at Redeemed Church, you know what we believe for? Black. We believe for black. So do you have your wallets? This is just a symbol of your finances. Are you ready? Let's grab them. Father, I just thank you. I speak over this congregation today and over every person hearing my voice. I thank you, Father, that in the name of Jesus, Satan, you take your hands off of our finances. We will end this year in the black. We will have more than enough. We will be looking for places to be able to give. We will be looking for people to be able to bless. I thank you, Father, it's not just going to be a little left over this year. I thank you for exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or hope or think or imagine. And I pray, Father, you give us wisdom, whether we're at the gas station or at the store or we're at wherever, Father, that when the Holy Spirit says give, we won't hesitate, we won't delay, we will give, Father. We will sow more seed for more harvest to sow more seed. And I thank you, Father, that every person is going to be able to give to those that are around them what their hearts desire, that they will be blessed to be able to give. And Father, in that giving, there will be even more seed, that when we come into 2026, that there will be the biggest harvest that we have ever seen so far in our lives, Father. I speak that over this congregation today. They are blessed to be a blessing. Father, I thank you. Pressed down, shaken, running together and overflowing. Will men give into their bosoms? And Father, I pray for the finances that have been held back from any year prior to this. I thank you. 2026 is the year. 2026 is the overflow. 2026 is the gates being ripped open and the flood coming into every person's finances. And I thank you, Father, houses will be paid off. Cars will be paid off. They're going to pay other people's houses off. They're going to pay other people's cars off. I pray for every person in here that's on a, what the world would call a fixed income. I thank you. We are fixed on you, Lord, and that those incomes are going to have wealth come in from places they never even imagined. Father, that you are blessing us to be a blessing, and we give you praise and glory for a wonderful blessed Christmas, Father, for a wonderful blessed December, but also, Father, for looking forward, a wonderful blessed 2026. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, or so be it. Woo! There you go. Amen.
So, Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for your wonderful words to us today in this wonderful Christmas season, the time that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ into the earth, fulfilled prophecy. And there's still prophecy yet to be fulfilled. And we rejoice in it all because it all begins and ends with Jesus. And we rejoice in that today. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, does everybody have a copy of our notes today? Amen. If you don't, just lift your hand and we'll get you one, right? But we're going to probably use this outline for this week and next week. This is always a wonderful time of the year. And I start seeking the Lord about the direction for the Christmas services in the fall usually. And I heard him say, talk about Christ in you. And to actually take the word Christ and make it an acronym, but I prayed through that process and had a bunch of different ideas, and I was even on Eagle Mountain's chat during their services, which I do often on Sundays, and I threw it out there. They know I'm a pastor. I'm like, I'm going to be doing a service during Christmas on the Christ of Christmas and Christ in you, and I'm looking for an acronym, and they started giving me all these ideas. I'm like, oh, that's good. But after praying about it, the Lord gave me a specific direction on that, and I'm excited about it. And it's actually in your notes. We're not hiding it from you, but we're gonna get to that point, right? But that's sort of the icing on the cake, right? So, and even as we begin, the Lord added a couple more things this morning to this. So, and part of it is a faith-to-faith. Today's faith-to-faith from the devotional from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland was spot on. But I want to start with John chapter 1 as we go into the Christmas season again. Does anybody seem like Christmas is coming faster and faster every year? It's like, it's like, didn't I just take these lights down? It's like, excuse me, the boys generally do the work for that nowadays. But I love it. I love this time of the year. It's very special. And it's just a great time to rejoice and worship God and preach Jesus and enjoy even the hustle and bustle out there. I know a lot of people were out at the malls and everything. And it's just great to be out in it. Amen. But I want to start with John chapter 1 in the first, 14 verses. And this is not in the notes. This is bonus coverage, right? So... It says this, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, right? And the Word, capital W, was with God, and the Word, capital W, was God. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus, right? He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and nothing without him, nothing was made that was made. In him, somebody say in him, was life, and the life was the light of men. Say the light. How many know we live in a dark world? And even this time of the year, it's dark like at 4:30. And in this part of the country, it could be 4:15, 4 o'clock if it's cloudy, right? Which we do have some clouds. Praise God for days like today where it's bright and sunny. Boy, what a sunrise this morning, and what a sunset yesterday if you happen to see it, right? But Jesus, somebody say, Jesus is the light of men. And so this time of the year, when it gets dark earlier, it's a good, and people turn, that's what I love about Christmas lights. Some people talk about, you know, 4th of July lights. So what's the point of that? It doesn't get dark till 9:30, 10 o'clock, right? I mean, praise the Lord, right? But this time of the year, it's dark so early. Sometimes I turn them back on in the morning too while I'm doing my devotions because I can, we have them in the backyard this year and it just warms my heart, right? And somebody might be walking their dog in the park behind our house and they'll see the light in the dark. So it's all symbolic, right? And Christians, as Christians, we're called to do what? Shine for Jesus in a dark world. Amen, right? Verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness. And even, you know, on the 14th, I think it is, Hanukkah begins. And a lot of Christians don't see any connection, and Jews too, don't see any connection with Christianity and Judaism in Hanukkah. But if you're a messianic, you know, Zionist believer, you understand that it all points to the light. Festival of light. Festival of dedication. And there's even scriptures that point to Jesus himself celebrating the Feast of Dedication, which happens to be, that's what it's Hanukkah, right? So it's about shining in a dark world for Jesus, right? And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. How many know the darkness does not comprehend the light? Does it seem like anybody else in here, when you're hearing things on the news, and praise God for Flashpoint, and CBN News, and Victory News, and people in journalism that are actually doing the work of journalism and telling the truth, does it seem like to anybody else that the darkness, the people that are living for the devil out there, will just shoot straight? I mean, when you're talking about transgender and letting people live in this country who are here to do it harm and defending them and talking about how ugly the country is and how they hate Jews, that's straight up devil talk. And how many know it seems like the farther we go, the more obvious it is that the darkness doesn't get it. They simply do not understand the light. And they'll tell you it to your face. And in some cases, violently. Right? And so what do we have to do? Do we cover the light then because it's offensive? Put a bushel over it? Somebody say no. You just let it shine. Somebody say let him shine. Right? And that's what this season reminds us of, is to let him shine, right? There was a man sent from God whose name was John, verse 6. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. All through him might believe. Is there any other way to believe than through him? Could you believe through Buddha, through Muhammad, Krishna, through yourself, through your own good works, your own good looks? Through Democrats, Republicans. No, somebody say, through him only. One way. Jesus. Right? He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Does it seem like to anyone else that there's a lot of people in the world that just simply don't know him? And we get it with the world, but how many know with the church, that's not okay? How many know Christians should know him? And there is a deceptive demon spirit even in the church nowadays where Christians begin to question the validity of the Bible or that Jesus really is the only way. It's nuts. So what do we do? Do we start watering down the truth? No. Somebody say, you keep shining for Jesus with all your heart. And we pray for our fellow believers in the world, right? He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. My goodness. As many as received him, praise God for them, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Somebody say, that's me. Notice it doesn't say children of gods. Oh, how narrow-minded, like Keith Moore. Yes, I'm narrow-minded and saved. Right? Narrow is the way that leads to life. Wide is the gate and wide is the road that leads to destruction. And there are signs along the road. Destruction coming. Turn around. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm in Jesus. Right? To them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Somebody say, that's me, and let's just say the name Jesus. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word, here we go, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we believed his and beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Somebody say, full of grace and truth. The truth is, I sinned. But there's grace. The truth is, I'm guilty of it all. But through Jesus Christ, there's grace. So truth and grace can seem like polar opposites, right? The truth is, I did it, but there's grace in Jesus Christ. And grace is not a license for Steve to keep sinning. Try that on the highways, doing, 120 in a 60, like we see happen almost every day now. Got to pray over our cars every time we leave the driveway. And not in fear, but just bind the devil, draw the bloodline. I'm getting where I'm going safe and getting home safe. Right? But a police officer pulls someone over doing 120, like we heard on the radio recently, a lady that said, she just said, well, I was just trying to get my pizza. If I get there in time, I save $20 or something, right? So she's doing, so her story was, I don't think her story was true. Well, officer, I'm a Christian though, it's grace. The truth is, yes, I was speeding, but you are guilty. You are going to pay the fine. And if you keep doing this, you're going to lose your license or end up in jail, right? So grace is not the get out of jail free card and just keep living as you want to card. No, grace is defined as divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. So grace is designed to change Steve's heart. Amen. We're not here to preach a Jesus that's more like us. We're here to preach us becoming more like him. That's the Bible. Right? Hallelujah. But I wanted to read to you the faith to faith, from today, because it applies to all of this. And it's titled November 30. You might have read it today. It's called Abide in the Word. Somebody say, Abide in the Word. And we just read about the Word. Who is the Word? Jesus is the Word, so abide in Jesus. How many know if we want to live as shining lights in a dark world, we're going to have to abide in the light. We can't disconnect ourselves from Jesus and expect to shine for him. Right? And it's First John chapter 15. I have to walk to the light so I can see it. Walk to the light. John 15, looks like it says verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Somebody say amen, right? And Brother Copeland says this. That word abide is so important. When Jesus told us to obey his commandments and keep his word, he wasn't just telling us to follow a bunch of religious rules and regulations. He was telling us to allow his word, which is a living thing, somebody say it's a living thing, right? To make its home within us. Somebody say within us. That's a big, big thing with this message. He was telling us to spend time with it, to meditate on it, to fill our minds and our mouths with it, to let it guide our every action. The Apostle Paul put it this way: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians 3:16. Most believers don't have any idea what that means. That's one of the reasons they're so short on power. Oral Roberts said that when the word is really abiding in you, somebody say in me, when it's alive and producing like it should, you can hear it. You know what it's like when you get a song on your mind and you just keep hearing it over and over and over inside you? Somebody say, inside me, right? Well, when you start abiding in the word, you're probably going to hear it in much the same way. Many times I've been in desperate situations wondering what I was going to do when suddenly I'd hear a scripture down on the inside of me say, inside of me, right? I'm adding that part, by the way, emphasizing that part. Suddenly, I'd know exactly what the answer is to my situation. I'd be delivered, somebody say delivered, by the word of God that was dwelling in me. Somebody say in me. Say delivered. It's a big word also. So invite the Holy Spirit to go to work on your behalf just by keep telling him, whatever you bring to my remembrance from the word, it's exactly what I'm going to act on. I'm going to be obedient to every command of Jesus that you bring to mind and make a quality decision to abide in the word, and soon you'll discover that the word is abiding in you. Somebody say, the word of God is abiding in me because I abide in the word. Hallelujah. Amen. And I love that word delivered. As I was preparing and praying for this message, that kept coming up in my spirit too, that he is our deliverer. Amen? A lot of you know the story when my daughter Lacey was born. She was born premature and had issues and should have died. Not should be in heaven right now, right? But that song came up in my spirit. My deliverer is coming. My deliverer is standing by. And I didn't know why this kept coming, because we didn't know what was up. But a miracle happened, and Lacey's here, and she is really smart. Just ask her siblings, and really quick, and it's a miracle. Christmas is about miracles. Hanukkah's about miracles. But a deliverer, somebody say, my deliverer is alive. Amen? And yesterday, I had, you know, I lost count. Well, I could probably count, but there was many times where I saw FedEx or UPS or Prime, the trucks, you know, turning around in front of my house, dropping something at my house. They were delivering stuff. They were out delivering. And there's a lot of children that believe a man in a red suit and a white beard is going to be delivering to their if they're good. If they're not naughty and they're nice, then there'll be packages delivered. Right? How many know Jesus is the deliverer? Romans chapter 11, 26 talks about that in many other places, of course, as well. But that translates to the word rescue. So Jesus, yes, he'll bring stuff into your life, but he's also getting stuff out of my life, delivering me from sickness, disease, poverty, strife, sin. Glory to God for and bringing in and delivering to me righteousness and the blessing of God and the peace of God and the joy of the Lord. Somebody say, I just receive it, man. Right? Shelley showed that picture of Gabriel at the door. I love it. Well, yesterday we had three knocks at the door in the morning. There was somebody trying to sell us steaks, and there was somebody else trying to sell us windows and roofing and siding. And then my father-in-law also. One of them I was happy to see, right? It was. Yeah, right? Somebody say, he's at the door. Somebody say, answer the door. Open the door. Be nice to salespeople when they knock. I mean, we respect the salesman out there on a Saturday of a holiday weekend trying to make ends meet, whatever. But we're not obligated, obviously, to that. But my father-in-law, we have a relationship. We have covenant, right? And so happy to see him, right? And just how many know when Jesus comes, somebody say, open the door to him. Receive him. Why? Because he's delivering. He's the deliverer. Hallelujah forevermore, right? Now we get to the message that's actually on the notes there. Hallelujah. Turn to Matthew chapter 1, and we'll see how far we get with this today. Hallelujah. Somebody say, it's Christ in me that the world needs to see. Hallelujah. I want to look at verses 18 through 25 in this story. And it says this, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ. Somebody say the birth. If he was born, it means he came out from on the inside of somebody. Right? And I know there's, you know, a lot of, you know, our brothers and sisters in the Catholic faith. A lot of Catholic people believe, and maybe other faiths too, that you can talk to saints. People, they call them saints. People that have died and gone to Peter, Paul. You're not worthy to talk to God, but you could ask. There's one of my favorite Christmas songs that Burl Ives sing. It's called Please Send Some Snow. Please send some snow for Johnny. Johnny lives in Louisiana where it doesn't snow, right? Please send some snow for Johnny. And he says, God, please tell St. Nicholas to send a little snow for Johnny. How many know that's amiss? That's praying amiss. There is a St. Nicholas, right? It's true. But he would tell you, talk to Jesus, talk to God, talk to the Father. And there is prayer going on in heaven. There's intercession going on for heaven. They are praying for us. How many know in heaven, everything's cool. It's good. So what are they praying about? They're praying for you. They're praying for you. They're praying for souls. They're praying for this kingdom of God that's coming to the planet. But we don't pray to them or to angels. Angels are awesome. Oh, they're awesome. But we don't pray to an angel. Amen? And this might even ruffle some religious feathers. We really don't pray to Jesus. Jesus told us himself. Now, we can talk to him. We pray, talk to the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's not a sin. But Jesus told us himself, you come to the Father through the Son. Amen. By the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've used the illustration of a cell phone. It's a great illustration. Crude, but it works. The phone itself is the body. It's Jesus. I'm talking to my Father. And T-Mobile is like the Holy Ghost. The power that connects you, right? You need all three. But we have to, if you want, you know, results, even Christians can get the idea that, well, I'm not worthy to approach the Father. It's like, you know, the Wizard of Oz. Who are you talking to me? I'm busy. I'm still angry about some things. Hallelujah. Right? Amen. All that came from that first verse. The first few words. That's the Holy Spirit talking to us. That's why it looks like we could get through all this in one service, but we probably won't. The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary, glory to God for Mary. Shelley just spent time talking about Mary. Mary is a patriarch of the faith, but she's not the fourth member of the Trinity. She's right there with Moses, with Abraham and Sarah. And I mean, Moses brought in the word on tablets of stone and Mary bore the word in her body. Now and you don't criticize someone's mother, right? No, she'd be the first to tell you. In fact, she did tell us. She said, whatever he tells you, do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God, right? The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, of the Holy Spirit. The virgin birth, right? Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel, somebody say an angel, of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Praise God for dreams and visions from the Lord, right? Saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her, somebody say in her, is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people, somebody say his people, from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord to the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Somebody say Emmanuel, right? Which is translated God with us. Somebody say God with us. God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did just as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her son, her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, verse 20 is what we want to focus on, really, moving forward here. That portion that says, the angel says to him, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her. Somebody say, in her. How many know it was Christ in her, literally? Literally. The salvation of humankind was residing on the inside of her. And in the same way, Jesus Christ is on the inside of you, and the salvation for all mankind is residing on the inside of you. And every time we speak his name, every time we talk about him, every time we pray, every time we tithe, every time we take some righteous action by faith, that light is coming out of the inside of you and pointing somebody to Jesus. Amen. Bringing about some miracle, some powerful, awesome thing God is doing. Because why? Because somebody say, because he's in me. He's in me. Hallelujah. That word conceived translates to be born, caused to arise. Glory to God forevermore. One who brings others to his way of life. Means like convert, making a convert. Glory to God forevermore. How many know Jesus was born to bring us to his way of life? He wasn't born to come to be in my way of life. He came into this world to get me out of it, to draw me to himself. Glory to his name forevermore. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19 says this. Paul is speaking. He says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth, somebody say in birth, until Christ is formed in you. Somebody say, Christ is formed in me. I labor in birth until Christ is formed in you. Glory to God forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. The word formed means, I like this translation, a mind and life in complete harmony with the mind and life of Christ. And the word Christ translates anointed. We're talking about the anointing. And next week, somebody say next week, next week, I want to make it also an anointing service where we will literally anoint everybody in the room along these lines. Because God's doing something. The anointing, Christ, the anointing, and, you know, we've heard Brother Copeland and others teach that Christ is not Jesus' last name. No, it means he's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. Amen? In the scripture, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That anointing is on the inside of you. If you got born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're in your word, you're hearing and receiving the word regularly, then that anointing is literally residing on the inside of you. Amen. And there's a reason for it. Somebody say, there's a reason for the anointing. Obviously, the fellowship, our fellowship with the Father is priority one. Amen. But look at Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27 in your notes right there. I think I heard Creflo Dollar preach on this once in person, like when he came to Portland, the New Beginnings years ago. Loved it, man. It shall come to pass in that day that this burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed. Somebody say destroyed. Because of the anointing oil. And Brother Creflo went into preaching on, so therefore we can say the anointing is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. And boy, the place went crazy. And he's like, let me tell you if I know if the offering is anointed. Did it remove burdens? Did it destroy yokes? Then that was an anointed offering that we had, right? I love it. The anointing of God. So Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. This is good news. In a dark world, that's good news. Amen? He came to seek and save that which was lost and to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy burdens and yokes off of our lives. And this is good news. Amen? And then Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29 says this. To them, oh, let's open to that one. Colossians chapter 1. Somebody say, Christ is in me, and I'm in him. Right? Colossians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. There we go. Verses 24 through 29. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. The mystery, verse 26, which has been hidden from ages, from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints, to them, somebody say to them. Somebody say to me, right? God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. That would represent the world, right? Which is, somebody say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And then verse 28, Jeremy Pearson's, this is their theme verse. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in, somebody say, in Christ Jesus. To this end also labor, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me. Somebody say, in me, mightily. Somebody say, Christ works in me mightily. Amen. That is the glorious truth of Christmas. Christ in you. And in the image that we picked there, in that image of Joseph and Mary approaching Bethlehem, how many know at that point he's in her? Christ, literally. Is in her, and she's going to birth him into the world. Amen. And in the same way, Christ is on the inside of us. His word resides in us. His truth abides on the inside of us. His power resides on the inside of us by faith in his name. And his power, his burden-removing, yoke-destroying power resides on the inside of us. So any devil within an earshot of us ought to be feeling some pain. If you drive through a part of town and you see some crazy thing going on, you just start praying in the Holy Ghost and binding the devil, taking authority over that thing, pointing at, you know, billboards or business establishments or things that are going on television or something that comes up in your prayer time. You start speaking over that situation. What are you doing? You're getting the anointing on the scene. Hallelujah. Somebody say, that's what we're in this planet for. I've been birthed into this planet. Hallelujah. To preach that word. To say something. Somebody say something. The devil wants you to be quiet about it. He doesn't care that you know that, but just hush up about it. Don't say anything about that. Somebody say, I'm going to speak up. But specifically, verse 27, I want to introduce this to you here as well. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I was praying about this, and next week we'll have an anointing service and talk about this some more. But I made an acronym, and this isn't the only things this can be, but I really felt drawn to this particular flow in terms of Christ in you. Somebody say his callings. C, callings. H, healings. R, revelations. I, instructions. S, strategies. And T, territory. Somebody say he's on the inside of me. Christ is in me. And I receive callings. And I'm saying this really prophetically over us as a body, that he has callings on the inside of you that are there for a reason. No matter what our age or where we're at in life, he has put a purpose and a callings inside of us to fulfill in this world. Right? In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, it says, he who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. And one way you'll know it's a calling from God is if it seems impossible. Look at Mary. How is this possible? And then she says, let it be it to me according to your word. Here am I, your servant. All you have to do, like Abraham, is just believe it. Somebody say, I believe the calling. And I receive his callings on my life. Things that are literally, you know, we use the birth analogy, conceived in our spirits. Amen. These things will come to you through prayer, waiting on the Lord, some fasting maybe now and then, just praying over these things. Somebody say, I receive his callings, birthing on the inside of me and birthing through me. This church is a calling that God gave Shelley and I. Amen. And we're seeing it play out over years. Hallelujah. Healings. Somebody say, there's healing anointing on the inside of me. Right? So if Exodus 15, 26 says, I am the Lord who heals you. So if there's something that's been plaguing you or your family and just keeps going and going and know that that anointing is going to break it and destroy it and remove it. But we have to stay with the word on these things. Healings. Somebody say healings on the inside of us. And then R, let's stay with healings for a minute. Just say, I receive my healing. Yeah, I conceive my healing. See, a lot of times, just because we read it in the Word doesn't mean we're converted to it yet. Right? Sometimes you have to read it again and again and again, especially if the symptoms are persisting. The pain, the evidence, the medical report just keeps going and going and going. How many know you have to outlast it? You have to outlast it. You have to give your time, instead of researching on the internet what that might be, that symptom is, and what the doctor said and what that means, you ought to get yourself in this word and just really dive in and dig into that healing anointing that's on the inside of you. Amen. And just don't listen to anything else. Don't receive any other report. Hallelujah. And it takes effort. It takes work. It takes dedication. In this time of the feast of dedication, let's become more dedicated to the Word of God. This weekend, I was dedicated to a lot of football. A lot of football. But it was rest. I was resting. And I felt like the Lord was pleased that I was enjoying football. But there were many times where I turned the game on mute. It was still there. And I opened the Word. Or turned something in my ear on my phone. And so I'm simultaneously, somebody say simultaneously now. I'm feeding on the Word while I'm watching somebody, you know. Weren't all that many super close games this weekend, but you know, somebody say we have to stay serious on this. Even when we're resting, we don't take time off from the Word. Amen, right? The healing anointing is residing on the inside of us because it's involved in the name of Christ. It's part of who He is. So we stick with it. Revelations, amen? Callings, healings, revelations. Galatians 1:12 says, "For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." I heard Brother Copeland on today's Believer's Voice of Victory. I was listening to it this morning, and they have a Sunday broadcast, and it was like from 2010 somewhere, and he went into what God is going to show you. Your second grade teacher didn't know, your kindergarten teacher doesn't know, your high school teachers don't know it, your college professors who might be on weed anyway don't know it. In other words, he was saying you're only going to hear some things. Revelation doesn't come from other human beings. I mean, we get things from people that are anointed teaching the Word, and that doesn't mean we can't glean things from people. But there's things that God is going to teach you specifically from Jesus Himself. Amen. Now, it's awesome when you hear other people teach stuff, and I love hearing things and receiving things, but there's nothing quite like hearing it directly from the Holy Ghost. And then you turn on somebody else, and they're preaching on the same thing that the Holy Ghost has taught you. It's like, that's confirmation of what the Holy Ghost has told me, right? So revelations, what kind of revelations? Whatever you need. Whatever you need. He might give you a revelation about marriage or a revelation about health or a revelation about finance or an invention or some sort of way to make money or something to write, something, some music thing or, you know, just whatever God, just plug into that anointing and let the revelations flow. Amen. And the only place that comes from is when He's in us and we're in Him. Amen. So that's why missing time with Jesus is just way too costly anymore, right? Sometimes we just got to get up earlier or stay up a little later or turn some distraction off, right? But staying dialed in with Him is just, it's just too costly to miss that and too risky. Really anymore. Right? Amen. Gone are the days of, I can do this all myself. I don't need Jesus. I got my education, and I've got my health, and I've got my house, and I've got my car, and I've got my job, and I've got my family. I don't need Jesus anymore. Oh, yes, we do. How many know, I've heard Brother Keith teach on this. We depend on Him for literally every heartbeat, every breath. He talked about the synapses, I don't know if that's how you say it, but of our brain, the electrical impulses of our brain, we depend on Him for every little thing, right? So we can't drift away and think, well, I don't need Him today. No, there's something He wants to show me today or remind me of that only will come staying plugged into Him. Hallelujah. The next one is CHRI, instructions. Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will guide you with my eyes. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. A lot of us men, I think men in general, maybe there's a stigma that we have a tough time asking for directions. Don't give me the directions. I know how to put this thing together. No, I don't need to stop and ask for directions. I've been around here 100 times. Well, no, be like David. Remember David? When he inquired of the Lord. And then he's coming against the same enemy, the Philistines. And he could have said, well, last time, this is all I did. So why would this be? Oh, it might be different. It's a different day, different devil. Right? Somebody say, inquire of the Lord. Get his instructions. Listen to what he says and do it. Check your heart. Hallelujah. I will instruct you and teach you. That's why, you know, coming to church on Sunday is wonderful, but it's not enough any more than eating a meal on Sunday would be enough. Or taking a shower on Sunday is enough for the rest of the week, right? No, it's a daily walk, multiple times a day, that we check our heart, check the word, check what we know, turn a broadcast on. I talk about the Copelands a lot. And I just love the Victory Network and that whole track of teaching. And there's a lot of ministers in the world that are wonderful and awesome. But the Eagle Mountain International Church and the Copelands and Victory Network are just kind of my watering hole, right? And even in the church, we found that there was a way to put our name, to connect our name on their website, which is a great responsibility to us and them. Who are these people? Right? They could ask, right? Will they check and all these kind of things? But we're not out there just putting our name on any you know, mega ministry church website so we get more people coming in. That would be a muck for this minister to do that. Why? Because I'm not tapping into all of them. This is the one I'm tapping into regularly, so that's the one we partner with, and you know, and God, we have a big God, but that's where I receive the word of God, yes, but he's also given us, what, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors to be receiving from on a regular basis. Hallelujah. Amen. And also, Christian, if you're, whatever you're, what you do during the week, there's business people. There's, you know, people in law. There's people in education. There's that he might connect you with to learn something from that he's teaching you through them. And it's a glorious thing. So we should never get the idea that, well, I know it all. I already know that. I've got the Holy Spirit. I'm good. No, God uses people to instruct us as well. Hallelujah. Amen. So C-H-R-I-S, strategies. Somebody say divine strategies. Divine design. Proverbs 19:21. I couldn't find the exact word strategies in a verse, but plans is the same thing, right? There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand. Somebody say, Lord, I receive your strategies. And the cool thing is, Christ in you means the answer is already in you. You just got to draw it out. Pray in the Spirit. Seek his face. Study the word. Wait. Somebody say, sometimes the hardest thing is to wait. I don't have the answer yet. Well, then don't do anything yet. Sometimes God will just say, you know what? I got that. Don't even worry about it. Strike it off your list. Other times he'll say, talk to this person, talk to that person. Or an answer will just show up at the door. Anybody having those testimonies where, wow, that thing was answered that should have took me years in a second? Glory to God. Why is that? Because the anointing of God on the inside of you, Christ in you. Divine strategies, plans. These things take effort for us to mine into. I've talked about how I like to watch broadcasts about biblical archaeology. It's very interesting to me. And a lot of these people are out there in Jordan and Israel and Egypt, and they're digging into the ground. And sometimes they go into what they call is the Bronze Era, which is like the time of Abraham. And they have to dig and dig, and it's tedious. And they're finding like little pieces of pottery. Tell them what era they're in by just the pottery. And they'll say that sometimes people in the ancient world, in order to tap into the supernatural in their mind, they would throw pottery down a well or next to a grave, in a tomb, in a grave. And they'll find perfectly undamaged pottery, and it tells them about the era that they're studying, right? And we have to be people that dig into the Word and dig down, because some of your answers might be in Genesis. Some might be in Revelation or somewhere in between. But somebody say, keep digging. Keep digging, keep digging, keep digging. The Blue Letter Bible app is a good, that's a great, you can just search it out, and it's wonderful. But nothing, I don't think, for me, nothing quite replaces just opening the actual book and flipping through and making notes, right? But God has strategies, strategies of prayer, strategies of business, strategies of ministry. Somebody say, Lord, I receive your strategies. Parenting, marriage, glory to God forevermore. And then finally, territory. If anybody heard of the Prayer of Jabez, great little book out there. And this is Jabez's prayer, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, and that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Somebody say, enlarge my territory. Territory is in the Bible. Literal physical land, but also spiritual territory, financial territory, education territory, ministry territory. God has territory assigned to us, and literally it's on the inside of us. If we'll just get in touch with Christ on the inside of us and pray it out and call it in, write it down, pull up. Oh, I love being right by the airport. I really do. It's awesome. Somebody say, we're going up in Jesus. Hallelujah. Just say it out loud. I receive my territory, Lord. I receive my callings, healings, revelations, instructions, strategies, and the territory of God. Land. This church, hallelujah, needs land, property, buildings. Hallelujah. We receive it. It's all on the inside of us. It's on the inside of us. Amen. People, it would be nice if people had an actual place that they know that's a church. And it sticks out, and there's an address. But how many know that's on the inside of us? The seed's been sown, it's in the harvest. So we say it. We say it. That's the one thing I hear a lot from the people that we listen to is the confession part. That's where the rubber meets the road in faith, is hearing what's in your heart through the Word of God and then letting it come out of our mouth. And it might sound impossible, but we learn from Mary, right? And the angel, what he told Mary, with God, all things are possible. Is anything too hard for God? We see this in multiple parts of the Bible. And whatever it is in your family, ministry, business, whatever it is, God is expanding your territory. He gave us that word, in fact, at our anniversary, Isaiah 54, enlarge the place of my tent, verse 2, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. Enlarge means to broaden, to make room. Somebody say, make room. Hallelujah. And that's how we need to look at where we're at right now, is this as far as church I'm talking about. This is a vehicle. And our job every week is to make sure the vehicle is ready to go. Is it clean? Are the doors open? Are things in order? Are there chairs out? Are we smiling? Does my breath smell like Thanksgiving dinner still? Or am I wearing deodorant? Are my clothes pressed? Am I excited to be here? You know what I'm saying? Somebody say, be ready. Be ready to go. Just like the children of Israel that night of Passover. Ready, eat with your belt on, right? And your sandals on your feet. Glory to God. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch forth, spread out. Hallelujah. Lengthen, to be long, to live. Strengthen, to seize, to help, to repair, to fortify, to bind. How many know we're binding the devil, right? Conquer, to be constant, to continue, to be of good courage. All these things directly apply to this message today. Amen? Somebody say it's Christ in me that's getting it done. I simply agree with him and say what he says. Let's all stand up and we'll pray and rejoice in the Lord. I wasn't thinking I would get through all that today, but looks like we did. God's got something for us. Next week we'll have an anointing service though, and go over some of these things again and just really press into it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord just reminded me also, I was listening to, as we pray right now, I was listening to a Torah portion teaching from a Messianic rabbi yesterday. And it was about the story of Jacob when he was traveling toward, I think it was Haran, to where he didn't know he was going to meet his wife there, right? And he was in the middle of the wilderness and he had the dream and the ladder, the angels going up and down the ladder, and he made an altar and it said that he poured oil on the altar, and the rabbi was like, where did he get the oil? He's like, well, he was in the middle of an area where there were a lot of olive trees. And he literally just took olives and pressed them together and made oil. And just a good image there of us having to press to get that anointing. Press. Somebody say press. The woman with the issue of blood pressed in to the anointing. To Jesus. Somebody say, press him. Apply pressure. Spend time with him. Turn off the noise and turn on the truth. Turn on the light and watch that anointing flow. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this word today. We receive it by faith. We rejoice in it. We thank you that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that Christ is being birthed to us and through us, that others can see and hear and know the light of God is shining through Jesus Christ. And we give you all the praise, Father God, for all these things. As we meditate on these things this week and pray about them and think about them and chew on it and press into it, we trust you, Lord, for all the wonderful things that you're going to be doing to us and through us, and by us, with us. We rejoice in it all. Somebody just say, welcome, Jesus. I receive you afresh as Lord and Savior of my life. Let that anointing flow mightily in my heart. It's you in me. It's you in me. My heart is your home. Birth yourself through my life in every area. Physically, spiritually, financially, my family, the church, we receive it by faith. It all done. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody say amen.